Good morning and welcome to our worship here in Railway Street. This morning we welcome back the Reverend Brian Gibson and his wife Jean. Brian was the minister of Railway Street from 1994 to 2013, or so I'm told, and is now our minister emeritus. You are both very welcome to our fellowship this morning. Michael is back from his training week and is conducting worship in First Dromara Presbyterian this morning. As you know, he is the convener of the vacancy there. This evening, we have our service of worship at 6:30, and Michael will be beginning a short series on the Psalms of Ascent. Tonight, we'll be looking at Psalm 120, The Pilgrim Path. Tomorrow night, we have our prayer focus at 8 o'clock in the link, and everybody is welcome to that. The GB meets as usual, and the BB recommences after Christmas this week. On Wednesday morning, between 10 and 12, we have the link up. And again, everybody's welcome to that if you just want to come for coffee, tea, or a chat for a couple of hours on a Wednesday morning. It's held behind us in the link here. And on Thursday, the Bible Discovery Group are starting back after Christmas. We start with coffee at 10:30, and our study begins at 10:45. The last announcement just concerns subscriptions and payments. The Presbyterian Herald, there's a renewal fee due of £20 for the year, and that's due now. Wider World Magazine, £7 for the year, and there's also the church car park renewal fees. And if you'd look at the December and January bulletin, you'll get further details on that. Those are all the announcements, and I'm glad just to hand over to Brian at this stage.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be back home, and my thanks to Heidi for her very warm welcome. As a call to worship, I want to use Psalm 121. It will pick up the theme of the service as we go along, but I want to use the Message translation of that particular psalm this morning as our call to worship. So let's listen to the words of this lovely psalm. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. And he guards you always. We join together for prayer. Our Father, we come this morning to be quiet in your presence. We come to give you thanks. We come to reflect. We come to listen to the still small voice of your Spirit, seeking to hear what you would say to us. You have made known yourself known to us in creation. You have revealed yourself to us in Scripture, but particularly and primarily, you have made yourself known to us in Christ. We thank you for the one who so loved us that he gave his life for us. We thank you for the one who hung on the cross and died so that we might live eternally. Our Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And we pray now that you might enable us to open our minds and souls to hear the voice of your Spirit. Our Father, you know us completely. You know our faults and failings. You know where we have sinned against you during this past week. We come seeking your forgiveness. We come asking that in worship and through the voice of your Spirit and through the teaching of Scripture that you might bring healing and release and rest to our lives. So, Father, help us now to set aside the daily concerns of living and help us to listen and hear what you would say to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we stand to worship God. Me at the front. So if you consider yourself young enough, please come and sit along the front. That's better. That'll do, yes, anywhere you want. Now, we come to our prayers of intercession, and I'm using some of the items from Prayer Line. And interestingly, one of the items is that we should pray for the moderator, who's going to preach in Great Victoria Street this Sunday, as the congregations of Great Victoria Street and Windsor, Janet, are merged. Give thanks for their past ministries and pray for God's blessing on this new beginning under the leadership of the Reverend Ivan Steen in Belfast. When people ask me about my years in ministry, I tell them that I served as an assistant in Ulsterville. It's now closed. I served as a minister in Windsor. It's now closed. So be warned. So let's join together for our prayers of intercession. And I'm just going to mention one or two topics and then pause for a moment of quietness and allow you to turn those topics into a prayer. So let's pray for the moderator and for the members of Great Victoria Street and Windsor congregations as they merge under the leadership of the Reverend Ivan Steen in Belfast. Very shortly, Jean will be sharing with you a bit about our trip back to Kenya just 2 months ago. 40 years ago, one of our students in Kenya, in the institute where we were teaching, was a young man called Edwin Kibathi. His wife Anne was a doctor in the little hospital beside us at Kikuyu. Today they are husband and wife and working in London with Kikuyu and other people from Africa and other countries. And we're asked to pray that they would continue, that their outreach and their ministry would continue to grow spiritually as they meet and learn from the Word of God. So please do pray for Edwin and Anne Kibathi, global mission workers in the UK. A few years ago, the Reverend Ian Hart and his wife travelled out to Myanmar to teach in the Presbyterian College there. He was giving a few months of his time during his retirement, but that is no longer possible because there's such unrest and civil war in Myanmar. But we are asked to pray for the ministers of congregations in that troubled country, that they would be encouraged. Many of the members of the congregation have had to flee their villages due to bombardment by government forces. So let's just remember that suffering church in Myanmar and pray for their leadership. Then let's pray for Michael this morning in First Drumara as he convenes the vacancy there, as he leads the congregation through this period of vacancy and towards a new ministry. Let's just pray for Michael and his ministry in that particular situation. Then finally, let's bring our own personal needs. We come with concerns for members of our family, for those who are struggling, those who need our support and encouragement, and above all, God's presence in their lives. Our Father, we bring to you today those people for whom we have concerns and burdens. You've placed us in families and in communities, and you call us to bear one another's burdens. So help us not only to pray for these people, but to discern how you would have us help them and support them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we stand again to praise God. Well, you don't really need a sermon. If you've listened to the words of that last hymn, you've got the sermon. So maybe we can just go home, can we? When Michael asked me for the theme of the service, I told him my theme would be leave and go. And he sent back a message saying, I hope you're not going to be specific. So it's not a hint to Michael that he needs to leave and go by any means. But that is the theme of our service, our sermon this morning. And 40 years ago, we left and we went. And Jean's going to just take a moment or two now to reflect on that period in our lives.
Well, in May 1982, we left Ireland with Andrew, who was five, and Sarah Jane, who was two, to go to Kenya with the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And our remit was theological education. And so we ended up teaching in a theological college there. But soon after we arrived, the leadership of the church there asked us if we would consider doing something called theological education by extension. Now, we'd never heard of this. We didn't really know what it was. But the leaders in the church there had heard of how it had worked successfully in South America, particularly in a situation where churches were struggling through shortage of ministers, didn't have enough people to look after the congregations. And so a lot of the care of the congregations and the preaching on Sundays was done by the members of the congregation. And many of these hadn't had the opportunity to study or for Bible background. And so there was a real need for people out in the congregations right around the country to have the opportunity to study the Bible. And so they asked us to think about this theological education by extension. We discovered that there was a course being run in Nairobi. And so we went along, attended the course, found out what this TEE, it's shortened to TEE because it's such a mouthful to say theological education by extension every time. And we became very excited about the potential of the program and thought that this could really be an answer to the problem of supplying help in the congregations across the country, where people could learn in their own situation without leaving their home situation to come to a central college. And so we planned our programme. We were going to write 8 courses. Each course would have a book of 10 lessons each, and they would just comprise an overview of the Bible, in-depth study of a couple of books in the Bible, courses on preaching, biblical theology, various things like that. And so we planned the programme and we set off to write the first course. We typed it up. I typed it up on a typewriter. And for those of you who are old enough to know what they are, we typed stencils and we duplicated the stencils on an old machine. It seems unbelievable now. We stood and did all this by hand, duplicated these stencils. The books were about 100 pages in the book, so we duplicated every book, every page, laid them all out on long tables, gathered them together, got them bound together, made up the books. And then Brian took these books in the car out to the students who wanted to study around the country. They studied individually during the week. They met as a group each weekend to discuss what they had studied. And then at the end of 10 weeks, the students sent in their exam. They had a little examination to do on their course. That was marked. Brian took out the results. He went out to visit the groups, took out the results of their exam, presented them with a very important certificate to show that they had completed that first lesson in the course, and gave them the next course to do. And of course, the pressure on us was producing the next course. We always had to be writing the next course while they were studying the present course, because we were just doing it on the hoof as we went. So we were constantly under pressure to get that done. And Brian, as well as the writing and the teaching in the college, he was driving, of course, hundreds of miles all over Kenya to deliver these courses and to take them back and so on. But the TE proved to be very popular. We began early in 1983, and by August of that year, about 300 people across the country had signed up for the programme. That continued throughout our years in Kenya. When we left in 89, Ewell Mars took over from us, and he continued with the TE programme, and then when he finished, various African directors took over the programme, and it continued after that. And so TE has kept going throughout the years. In November of last year, just a few weeks ago really, PCA decided to have a 40th anniversary celebration of TE, and they invited us to go to be part of that event. I don't know if we can have the picture, Gordon. No, it's not working. Oh, there it is. So we went out to be to celebrate the 40th anniversary of TE. And when we first began that course 40 years ago, we had no idea where it would lead. As we stood at the front of that church in Mombasa and looked out over a huge congregation of people who were all TE coordinators and involved in promoting TE across the country, we were thrilled to realise what God had done. When we went to Kenya, our children were very young, and now they're grown up with children of their own. And in the same way, a similar way, I suppose, a whole new generation of people have grown up in Kenya studying God's word and using the courses and tools that we had set in place all those years ago. And that was thrilling for us to see and to realise what had happened over all those years. The basic diploma, which we wrote all those years ago, made up of those first 8 original courses, it's still the most popular course. Now, the TE has grown and evolved. Lots more courses have been added. The programme has spread throughout East Africa and beyond. But that basic course is still the most popular, and 3,000 people apparently are studying it right at the moment. And the Reverend John Gatto, who's the current TE director, he gave an overview at the conference, and he had worked out that 27,000 people had studied TE over the past 40 years. So that was just mind-blowing to think of all those people that had been affected by that programme. I suppose one of the most exciting developments in TE has been the growth of the work within prisons. It became obvious as soon as they started doing a TE programme in prison, it became obvious that the TE students were really doing well within the prison system, and they became like leaders in their own prison community. And in fact, the other prisoners called them pastors. And then when they were released, their reintegration into society was so successful that TE is now actually regarded as one of the major rehabilitation programs for prisoners. But at the conference, there was a very moving moment when an elderly man got up and he came forward to share his story. He said he had studied TE in prison. He'd come to Christ through studying TE. Now, we wrote TE to help people who were already Christians speak in churches. That was our main aim. But actually, God was able to see there were all sorts of uses for TE, and so it's wonderful how it's been used in a way that we had never envisaged. But at the conference, this man said something very interesting. He said, "I was not arrested, I was rescued so that I could go to prison, do TE, and find Jesus." So I thought that was a wonderful summary of what he had experienced. And after 27 years in prison, he was released. He returned to his family. He retook his marriage vows, and he now serves as an elder in his local congregation. And he shared with the group there his desire to share, continue to share the word of God. And he said, "I want to tell my story so that no other young man will follow the path that I took." So when we received God's command to leave and go all those years ago, we had no idea what effect it would have on our lives or on the lives of other people. And so for all of us, God's command, and it's working out, it'll be quite different for all of us. But whatever our situation, I think our responsibility is simply to hear his voice and to respond to it, and that he looks after all the working out of it. Thanks very much.
Now, to pick up the theme again, we're going to read from Genesis chapter 12. And I'm just going to read the first five verses of that particular portion of Scripture. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 5. "Forgive us for coughing. Both of us have been struggling with colds and sore throats this week. So we'll do our best. The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. 'Leave your father's household and go to the land that I will show you.'" I wonder how Abraham felt when he discerned what God was asking him to do, to leave home, to leave all that was familiar, and to head out to a place as yet unknown. It must have been unsettling for him. And yet we're told that Abraham left and he went at God's command. Now, that call to leave and go is one that we find right through Scripture. And we have it again in the New Testament where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Wow. Just leaving your father and the nets and the fishing and following Jesus. Again, we wonder, how did they feel at that moment? They knew that their father wanted them to follow him in the fishing business and look after the family boat and continue the line of fishing. And yet we read that Jesus called them and they immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. Why did they do that? What was there about this person called Jesus that provoked such a reaction? We don't quite know, but what we do know is that Jesus called them to leave and they left. Quite amazing. But you know, that same call comes to each one of us from Jesus. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what does that mean for you and I? Does it mean that all of us tomorrow have to go to church house and find out where we can serve overseas and leave everything behind? I'm not sure Michael would be best pleased if he discovered he had no congregation next Sunday and you were all in Africa and India and various parts of the world. So what does it mean for each one of us? It's obviously not a call to many of us to leave home and go out to evangelize and be missionaries overseas. But it certainly is a call to all of us to leave behind everything and anything which hinders us being the person God created us to be and which hinders us fulfilling the role that God has gifted us to fulfill. You see, leaving is part of life, isn't it? We all left our mother's womb and we moved into our world. And then eventually when we were old enough, we left home and went to school. Can you remember that? Did you cry? And then the time comes when we leave home, we leave our parents and we establish our own home, leaving and going. We pick up a profession. We follow it for a number of years, and then we retire, we leave, and we move on. And then, of course, eventually, for all of us, there'll come that moment when we will leave behind the physical life that we experience now. Leaving and going is very much a part of life as we know it. Not only that, but it's something that we need to do to grow. None of us would have wanted to stay in our mother's womb, would we? That wouldn't have done as much good. something we need to do to grow as a person, as a community, something we need to do to grow spiritually, and something that we need to do to grow socially. Leaving. But of course, leaving is not easy, because we enjoy a little bit of sin, don't we? We find it hard to leave behind the secular values that engulf us and shape so much of our lives. We don't even realize how much we are being shaped by, anti-Christian values. They're all around us. And leaving those behind is not easy because of social pressure. We are blinded, aren't we, by the lights of pleasure and greed. Leaving these things behind is not easy. And at an individual level, leaving behind the hurts and pain and failure and anger of the past is very difficult. It casts a dark shadow over our present and hinders us often being the person we should be and need to be. We're often afraid to allow the light of God's Spirit to shine into the dark corners of our lives, where we know there are things that need to remain hidden. We like the security of the familiar, and we live with a fear of the future unknown. Leaving is not easy. But God's call is always a call to a new day. He calls us to use our lives as he has gifted us, not to spend our time on things that are secondary and of little importance. God calls us into a new day to be where God wants us to be. And as a people, it's time for us to leave the ghettos of narrow secular denominational Christianity and the politics of centuries past. We need to allow God's Holy Spirit to fill our lungs with new life and new energy. We need to lift our sails and allow to catch the wind of what God is doing and where he wants us to follow. Leaving is never easy, and leaving always involves sacrifice. For Abraham, it meant leaving home and the security of home. For the disciples, it meant leaving a father, a job which we assume they loved, fishing. And it meant following Christ into a completely unknown future. When Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," it's a call to sacrifice. So what does that mean for us in 2024? What about the use of your time and your money and your gifting? Are we using them as Christ would call us to do? In the Message, Eugene Peterson translates Matthew 16:24 in this way: "Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself and your true self." following Christ, leaving and going, sometimes and may often involve setting aside good things, that not necessarily things that are wrong in themselves, but setting aside good things for the sake of better outcomes. Using our lives for the benefit of others, and essentially using our life to follow the one who set aside everything for us. Leaving means sacrifice, but leaving brings blessing. And this is the way we want to conclude. Leaving brings blessing. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." You see, following the Maker's instructions always is the best option. Some years ago, a few of us here from Railway Street went skiing. Geoffrey Baird, Tim Mitchell, Ian Manoyan, Ian Wales, etc., etc. We went skiing. And when we came back, I picked up my car from the car park at Dublin. And, of course, the petrol tank was almost empty. So I drove into the nearest petrol station. And you know what I'm going to tell you? the petrol pumps in the south are coloured differently from the ones in the north. And so what I did, I filled a petrol car with diesel. It went for about 2 minutes up the road and then started to pink and pink. And suddenly I realized what I had done. See, in life, it's wise to follow the Maker's instruction. Now, of course, we live at a time when many don't believe in a Maker, a Creator. And so often, as individuals and as communities, we end up driving down a one-way street the wrong way and wondering why we have a car crash at the end of it. And of course, that's exactly what's happening in our world today. We're not willing to leave and follow the Maker's instructions. I'm nearly finished. St. Augustine put it like this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." You see, we are most alive when God's Spirit is most in control of our lives. Lord, as we journey further in 2024, help us hear the voice of your Spirit and know the blessing of following where you lead. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Alan. My voice is gone, Alan, so it's up to you now to lead us in our final praise, which is, "Be thou my vision." Leave and go from the peace of this place to the pain of our community. May you bring the healing peace of Christ to those who cross your path this week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.